Good evening, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, great signal.
Well, thank you, Bob. You're coming in about 40 over, so you're doing pretty good yourself. Looking forward to a good net. Seems band conditions are pretty good.
Yes, the band conditions do seem good. I messaged that fella, I don't know, was it Ukraine, about that equalizer, and I think I'm going to pull the trigger and order one that's made specifically or wired specifically for my Kenwood. So I can have that booming broadcast signal like you.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think you'll be happy with it. I think it takes two or three or, I don't know, might take a month to get here, but it's pretty good. The quality's good, and I just plugged it in and it worked, so I don't think you'd have any trouble with it.
No, and I mentioned to him that I'd like to have it so that it, I can use my headset. So I'll need the 8-pin jack and then the 1/4-inch, to get the audio to the headset. And then, you know, it'll come back the other way, of course, from that device. So I sent him a couple ideas of what I'm looking for. And of course, he wants you to go to PayPal and buy it, and then he'll talk a little more. So I believe that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think they sell, he sells them on eBay, too.
Well, I went right through his website, and then I can use my PayPal account like you would on eBay, so I'll eliminate the middleman.
Yeah, roger, roger. Sounds good, Bob. I'll be anxious to hear what your rig sounds like with that equalizer.
Yep, that's next on my agenda. I had a 30-year-old UPS, and it failed, so I just got a new trip light UPS in today, and wired that into my radio rack, and that runs my computer if there's a glitch. So, and next is that broadcast device. So, well, let me see if I can pick up some more check-ins and get this party started, Bill. CQ, this is KJOY, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
This is Kilo, Kilo 4 Whiskey X-Ray.
Mr. Russ, it's good to hear you. You're sounding good up here in Ohio. KK4WX, I've got you on the list. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good, Bob. And you're sounding equally as well down here. So is KO4FE. Sounding real good also down here in the Southland. So hopefully conditions will hold up and we can have a good net for a while there, over.
Roger, roger. Well, President number 45 is in your state tonight.
Yeah, we just got through watching that rally, and he was pretty good. I tell you, we got some folks here in Georgia that, I don't know, they try to be, I don't know what they try to be anyway, kind of like our governor and our secretary of state. What a disappointment they've been. They're supposed to be Republicans, but they're really rotten to the core. And then my congressman, he's actually from my hometown here. He was going around Trump boys, and right towards the end of his rally, he was starting to address or acknowledge all of the congressmen and all the other politicians and whatnot that he considered to be on his side. Well, anyway, our congressman is Austin Scott. And, of course, he said Austin Scott, and he called his name, and he stood up and all that. But what he doesn't know, I'm afraid, is Austin Scott, my congressman, is sitting on the board or the committee. It's called the Renaming the Bases Committee. He's sitting on the damn board to rename our bases, our military bases. What a piece of crap. I mean, I tell you, I'm not for that. I'm not for this
council culture and tearing down monuments and all this and that. So I doubt Trump knows that. If he did, I don't know how Trump would look at him now. But anyway, I guess he looks at him favorably now. But I just don't believe he's. I have a hard time believing that he knows that this guy is sitting on the committee to rename our military bases over.
Yeah, that's sad. I went to that website, and all it will let me do is put in a suggestion. It won't let me file a complaint or say that it's a disgruntled act and that should not be done. It doesn't allow you to make comments.
Well, I think I said something like no name change or something like that, and then I just kind of entered that and it took it on my end, but they may have entered an algorithm now to where they can't get any replies unless they're like names or something like that, because I know that some of the Confederate veterans have really hit that website up pretty hard, because they were the ones that was going around really raising Cain with them. So I don't know, they may have entered an algorithm in there since then that won't allow you to enter anything unless it's a name, over.
To try again, or maybe try to figure out another way to do it, but I was disappointed. So let me try to come up with some more check-ins, Mr. Russ, so we can get this party started. So I'm going to clear with KK4WX, KJY, looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. This is KA8JOY. Nothing heard, so let me open the door and I'll check on the other side. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by the late Victor W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great Liberty Net this Saturday night. I'm going to open the door with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let me let go of the mic and see if I have anybody else ready to check in. This is KAHJOY. Well, let me open the door, and maybe after I start the party, we can get a couple more. This article is from the Epic Times from September 15th, but I didn't read it last week. Biden administration pulls missile defenses in Saudi Arabia. Satellite photos show the United States recently removing a number of its advanced missile defense systems and Patriot missile batteries from Saudi Arabia. Photos that were published by the Associated Press show that the Prince Sutton Air Base previously had an on-site terminal high altitude air defense, THAAD unit, another missile defense system, and the Patriot missiles provided by the United States. But these batteries are no longer at the base, according to the satellite photos taken in late August and reviewed by the AP. The Defense Department continues to maintain tens of thousands of forces and robust force posture in the Middle East, representing some of the most advanced air power and maritime capabilities in support of the U.S. nation, and in support of the United States national interest and our regional partnership. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told the AP regarding that move. Representatives of the Pentagon don't immediately respond to requests for comment. Over the past several years, amid Saudi insurgents in Yemen, the country's Houthi rebels have fired missiles and carried out drone strikes against Saudi assets. The United States deployed two Patriot missile systems in 2019 following attacks on Saudi oil production sites as Washington blamed Iran for the strikes. Tehran has denied the allegations. Officials in the kingdom said on September 5th that it intercepted a ballistic missile fired by Hadha rebels near Daman, Saudi Arabia, according to its news report. Amid the missile defense pullout, Saudi Prince Taqa al-Dajjal said in a recent interview that he wants Washington to show its commitment to the kingdom, urging the Americans to leave the defense systems in the country. I think we need to be reassured about American commitment, the former intelligence chief told NBC. That looks like, for example, not withdrawing Patriot missiles from Saudi Arabia at a time when Saudi Arabia is the victim of missile attacks and drone attacks, not just from Yemen, but from Iran. As the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan, questions were raised about whether the Biden administration would be able to protect U.S. allies and interests. The Afghan government collapsed in less than 2 weeks to the Taliban, leading the United States to carry out an evacuation that was punctuated by terrorist attacks that killed 13 service members from the United States military in late August. While Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, what a piece of crap he is, has traveled to several Middle Eastern countries in recent days, a trip to Saudi Arabia was scrapped due to the scheduling problem. So it isn't clear if he's rescheduled a trip. Yeah, that Austin, all he's worried about is he wasn't given enough respect as a general because people saw him as a black man. Boo-hoo. With that being said, let me see if I have any additional check-ins before I kick this party off. This is KEJOY with the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Let me acknowledge Miss Laura and to JTT. Good evening, Laura. Good evening, Marty and to IRJ. I'm glad you two are listening. I would love to have you transmitting. Oh, did I yell that? I'm sorry. Anyhow, with that being said, let me go to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KA8JOY.
Okay, KA8JOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE. Well, you know, all this effort against the Confederacy memorials, really, that's got very little to do with slavery or anything in the big picture. They use that as an excuse at the moment. But ultimately, what the end goal is, because I predict and I fully expect that once they get rid of all the Confederate monuments and rename all the bases and basically erase the history of the South out of the United States national history, they're going to go for the Union monuments because, of course, those people weren't politically correct. They might have been fighting on a side that ostensibly was opposed to slavery. But that's not enough because they weren't woke. They probably was still using the N-word, or maybe they weren't doing enough, or maybe they weren't, who knows? The rationale that the haters use is just adapts to the situation. So I expect that once they get rid of the Confederate monuments and base names and any mention other than that they were despicable when it comes to the Confederacy, they next move on to the Union. They will eventually try to totally erase the Founding Fathers. They're really trying to erase white people from the history of the country, just as they are trying to erase white people in the population. And this whole situation is it's basically out in the open now. Out open now, and I'm going to get into an article here that makes that obvious and proves the case, is that many folks myself included, others on the Liberty Net, some silent keys, some still participate, have been warning about this anti-white effort for decades, and people didn't want to believe it, or maybe they didn't think it was important, or they said it wasn't true, or, well, we got more important things to worry about. Well, I don't think there's anything more important to worry about, because if they're going to erase your history, erase your heritage, and erase your population, that's about as close to genocide as you can name. It's a 1984 style effort. And I'll give you an example here. And Tucker Carlson, finally, I give a couple people, the Republicans seem to be finally waking up to this. I don't know if it's going to be too late or not, but at least they realize the obvious. But anyway, here's a headline. It says, Tucker Carlson goes all in on great replacement theory. It's not a theory. It's an obvious fact. And Joe Biden confirms it in this article. But anyway, it says, Tucker Carlson said the quiet part out loud on Wednesday night, calling the influx of immigrants into the United States via the southern border, quote, the great replacement, unquote. The Fox News host played a clip of then-Vice President Biden in 2015 talking about immigration. Now listen to this. Biden said, quote, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Nonstop. Folks like me who are Caucasians of European descent for the first time in 2017 will be in the absolute minority in the United States of America. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength. Carlson responded, Biden just said it, to change the racial mix of the country. That's the reason, to reduce the political power of the people whose ancestors lived here and dramatically increase the proportion of Americans newly arrived from the third world. Close quote. And then he said, in political terms, this policy is called the Great Replacement, the replacement of legacy of Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries. And then it gives the video for Tucker Carlson. So I don't know how they can call it a great replacement theory when Joe Biden is discussing it openly. He's admitting it. Unrelenting streams of immigrants, nonstop. That's what they're up to. And he thinks it's a good thing. I mean, only a sick, degenerate cuck could make a comment like that. Could you imagine a leader in any other country saying that it's a good thing to get rid of the population? Could you imagine a Chinese leader getting up and saying it's a good thing, we need to replace the Chinese people with, I don't know, Haitians, Mexicans, any other, Russians, any other, and that's a good thing, we should do it, nonstop, unrelenting. He'd probably be locked up in an insane asylum, or else arrested and shot by the government, the police, or whoever would deal with that, but it wouldn't be allowed. I can't imagine any country, perhaps maybe some sick countries in Europe that are also on this same bandwagon, some of the sick leaders they got over there, or Canada possibly, but no non-white leader in any non-white country would ever make a remark like that and probably survive. But we got, this is what our elite think. And I'm actually glad Biden said it, because it's obvious what they're doing. It's just that he's too dumb to keep his mouth shut, so he goes ahead and spills the beans. Well, the Republicans are finally waking up on this, and it's funny how the liberals are upset when the Republicans talk about this, but when you got Joe Biden running his mouth about it, you can't call it a theory or a conspiracy. He's saying what he wants to do and what the left is doing. So even moderate GOPs are finally waking up. And here's a headline from the Daily Mail. Quote, "How low, Miss Stefanik," close quote. Pro-Trump GOP Representative Elise Stefanik is blasted by hometown newspaper editorial after she bought Facebook ads pushing the great replacement theory, claiming white people are intentionally being replaced by migrants. And that's Elise Stefanik. She's hardly a radical. I mean, she's pretty much been she really didn't even support Trump in the beginning. Eventually she came around, but even she's talking about it. But anyway, the article says pro-Trump Republican Rep. Elise Stefanik was blasted as low by her hometown newspaper's editorial after she paid for Facebook ads pushing the great replacement theory. And Stefanik's ads which appeared on Facebook Wednesday, Joe Biden was seen wearing his trademark aviator glasses with scores of migrants pictured in their reflection walking towards him. The image was a riff on the Time magazine cover that saw Putin reflected in Biden's shades. Stefanik's ad text said, "Democrats are planning their most aggressive move yet, a permanent election insurrection. Their plan to grant amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants will overthrow our current electorate and create a permanent liberal majority in Washington," the ad continues on to say. Quite a choice of words, of course, considering that the country is still suffering the aftershocks of the January 6th insurrection in Washington by supporters of Mr. Trump, who tried to overturn Democrat Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 election. That's what the editorial said. Well, I don't see where January 6th contradicts anything that Biden said and what Stefanik's ad said. The op-ed ripped the advertisements as so-called fear-based political tactics and didn't mince words in the last paragraph. It says, "If anything that needs replacing in this country and in the Republican Party, it's the hateful rhetoric that Ms. Stefanik and far too many of her colleagues so shamelessly spew." Well, how is it hateful rhetoric? They're basically just summarizing what Joe Biden said in 2015 when he was vice president. The great replacement theory claims white people are intentionally being replaced in the U.S. by immigrants. It's not a claim. It's a fact, and Joe Biden just admitted it. It has a long history in the country that included periods when Catholics, Jews, or Muslims were hailed as replacements who were out to change the country's culture. Well, there's a big difference. Catholic, Jews, and Muslims were never allowed into the country in the past in numbers that we're seeing now. The theory also triggered scares that Irish, Italian, Asian, or Eastern European immigrants would take the white Protestant people's jobs. Well, the fact of the matter is, in a lot of cases, they did. But the difference is, eventually, that was shut off, because people were complaining, and most of those people, Irish, Italian, Eastern European, they're white, so there wasn't a racial aspect to it. These people varied very little in as far as their race went, and they were all Christians. So you had more Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, whatever, but you know, they were all still Christians, so even then it didn't matter. Who knows what these immigrants are? A lot of them are Muslims. Some of them are, you got Haiti, they say there's a lot of Catholics down there, but they're practicing voodoo and all kinds of other things down there. It said the third-ranking House Republican's ads echoed Donald Trump's attacks on Muslim and Mexican immigrants while seemingly mocking Time magazine's June cover of an aviator-clad Joe Biden with Vladimir Putin in the reflection of head of the Biden-Putin meetup. The Times Union op-ed included contributions immigrants are making to the U.S. and argued that their work was integral to a healthy American economy. Yeah, how about taking Americans' jobs? How's that helping the economy? So anyway, I guess when they take Americans' jobs, they cite that as immigrants contributing to the economy. I don't see how they're contributing. They're lowering wages and putting our own citizens out of work. So anyway, the article goes on, and I won't read that because it gets into some other topics, but if Elise Stefanik's saying it, that means it's a topic amongst the Republican leadership, and it's pretty hard to deny when you got Joe Biden admitting it and promising more of it, because he thinks it's a good thing if white people are a minority in the country that we founded, and we're 90% of the population as recently as 1965. So there you go, the Great Replacement, or as some people might call it, the White Genocide Program, is in full force, and you can see it in action at the border right now. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's not even a theory, it's an obvious admitted fact and an obvious policy that's taking place right now, and you can see it in the population, the census numbers. There's no conspiracy theory and no theory at all. It's an absolute government policy. Get rid of white people. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
He tries to turn this country into a communist Marxist country. He'll be eliminated as one of those useless fools. So I don't understand. He's white. You made mention about some of these this wokeness. I think it's interesting that the Republicans, even though it's been found out that Harris, her great-grandparents had slaves, and even Biden's great-grandparents had a boy slave. But that's never brought up, over.
Well, they don't care about that. As long as they're working to get rid of white people, they don't care about what their ancestors did, just as long as they're a useful tool in the Great Replacement policy, then they're okay. They're not going to worry about it. It's what they're doing now.
Yeah, but they would worry about it if that was a Republican that had that ancestry. And I also heard on I think it was Newsmax, that we eradicated a disease in this country called polio, but there are some Haitians that are testing positive for polio, and they're coming in.
They don't care. They don't give a damn as long as they represent a non-white person that's going to vote Democrat and take the place of a white person. They're all for it. They don't care if they've got leprosy or AIDS or any disease. They don't care.
Yep, it does not matter. Thank you, Bill. KO4FD, appreciate your content. Let me jump down to Mr. Russ. KK4WX in the great state of Georgia. Mr. Russ, it's all yours.
Okay, Bob. Real good, and good transmission from you, Bill. Good, good copy all the way around. Good strong signal, and I have a tendency to agree with you, needless to say. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on with this country anymore. Just to think all the damage that this current president has done.
and he's only been in office 9 months. 9 months, and look at the mess this guy's made. I was listening to the Trump rally. I watched every bit of it. By the way, it was on Newsmax, if some of you weren't already aware of it. I just about quit watching Fox. Now, as far as TV networks, we didn't have a whole lot of choice to begin with anyway, but Fox, back before the 2020 election, was really about the only source that I knew about on the television set. I'm not talking about the radio or the internet. I'm talking about strictly television. Fox was the only one. But then on the election night, it actually started a little bit before the election night, but it started, as far as I'm concerned, it started way back even before the first debate. But that first debate with Chris Wallace, I mean, anybody that couldn't tell that Chris Wallace was totally in the tank for Joe Biden, I don't know, they must have been blind or deaf one, because that was a lopsided one-way deal if I ever heard one. It was just totally and completely rigged. But anyway, tonight the broadcast of Trump's rally was broadcast 100%. No commercials, no nothing. 100% from beginning to end on Newsmax. So Newsmax has been my go-to channel. And we really hadn't never looked at it very much because really we didn't have access to it. But now we've gotten a new, we've got the same cable company, but they've enacted a new, I don't know what you call it, a new method for getting the signals to us. They're doing it all by digital means now. And they've added us a few channels. Plus, we got the internet on our television if we want, like YouTube and sources like that. So I guess you could say it's an improvement, although we do get some streaming that sometimes the broadcast will stop and it'll be loading or streaming or whatever you want to call it, and then it'll come back on. We've experienced a little bit of that, and we were told that, well, if we get a better Wi-Fi system, it will probably go away. But, you know, we're still doing pretty good, so not complaining a whole lot. But Newsmax seemed to be the only one that's really giving a really good side of the coin, so to speak. And really calling these left-wing liberals out. I don't know what happened to Fox, but seemed to me like even the night of the election, they called Arizona way before. I mean, I don't even think the polls were even closed good in Arizona, and they called it for Biden, and that was just totally impossible. Something went on. Well, now we know, according to the audits and whatnot that's come forth yesterday, that in the Senate investigation over out of Arizona, that there are definitely some problems with the Arizona election. So in Maricopa County alone, I won't go all into the details about what they found, but if you really want to see the details, I would suggest to go to frankspeech.com. That's Frank Speech, the name Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Speech, S-P-E-E-C-H.com. That's, needless to say, that's Mike Lindell's channel. And we've been watching it pretty often. Here at night, in the evening, we've been watching this guy that he's got on there called Brandon Howell. and he's been really good. But if you want to know about the election results or the audit that the Maricopa County has done, I would suggest to look there, and you'll see all the discrepancies. Now, they're saying that they don't see how they can that they can overlook this unless they just do a recall and have another election. That's the only fair way about it. And of course, Trump said tonight, he said, if you think Arizona's bad, Georgia is even worse. The only thing is we've got so many rhinos here that won't do anything. And I don't know if we'll ever get this thing looked at like it should be. And then we've got, they're erasing the results. From what I understand, okay, and this is according to federal law, they're supposed to hold the election results and the records and all for at least 22 months. Well, it hasn't been 22 months. So, it hadn't even been 12 months, but yet there's been a lot of records that's been erased, I think, in Colorado and Arizona, maybe other places, I don't know, but it's really bad. So, I don't know if we don't get rid of these Dominion voting machines, I don't know if we'll ever get it all corrected, because Dominion, you know, they're the same company. It's owned by UBS, and the people that's sitting on the board of UBS are the Chinese. So it happened down in Venezuela. Venezuela went to hell in a handbasket, and it happened on Dominion voting machines. Why in the world would our elected officials go and purchase machines from this Chinese-based company and have them conduct our elections for us? It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I won't go into any more detail about that, but just look at frankspeech.com and you'll see some of what's come out about the Maricopa County over in Arizona, about the audit that's taking place and what come out of it. It's really, really revealing. And Trump won by who knows how much. It was an awful lot, though. He certainly didn't lose. Here's something else on a bit of a different news. And I knew this was going to happen. Of course, I looked for much, much more and probably a lot worse. This is KK4WX Friday. I better do that. I was reading an article here from the Epoch Times. It says FBI probes allegations of assault on female soldier at Afghan refugee camp in New Mexico. Well, what a surprise. It says the FBI has confirmed it is investigating an alleged assault on a female U.S. military service member at a facility in New Mexico that houses Afghan refugees. In an emailed statement to the Epoch Times, the agency said its El Paso office is investigating the incident after receiving a referral from officials at Fort Bliss, Texas. The alleged assault took place at a refugee camp on the New Mexico side of the Fort Bliss facility known as the Doña Ana Complex, which is being used to house Afghan evacuees. A spokesperson for the 1st Armored Division at Fort Bliss told The Hill in a statement that female service member reported being assaulted by a small group of male evacuees while at the Doña Ana facility on Sunday. Quote, the safety and well-being of our service members as well as all those on our installations is paramount. We immediately provided appropriate care, counseling, and support to the service member, the spokesman said, according to the report. Big deal.
shouldn't have happened at all.
That's the way I look at it.
But anyway, the article goes on and on, says something about Representative Yvette Harrell of the Republican of New Mexico led over 40 of her congressional colleagues in penning a letter to President Joe Biden expressing grave concern about the rushed and incomplete vetting of Afghan evacuees being brought to the United States. Yeah, and when we got our wonderful governor here in the state of Georgia, Brian Kemp, and he stuck his finger up in the air and said, bring them to Georgia, bring them to Georgia. What are these people thinking? What are these people thinking?
I don't know.
These people aren't like us. I'm just going to put it to you like that. Most of them is Muslim. From what I understand, a lot of them that came and rushed on those planes to get over here are not even Afghans that worked for the U.S. They're just Afghanis that wanted to get out of there or whatever, or maybe even cause us harm. So now we've even got, it's been reported that we've got Afghan men who have got child wives or children as wives. Little small children at 11, 12, 13 years old, not even of age. Basically, what they really are is sex slaves. So, is this what we want? I don't think so. Thank good old Joe Biden and this left-wing socialist party that we've got that's just ruining our country. I'll tell you what, I'm for Trump's way of thinking 100% when he says America first, look after our own people, shut the borders down. Even he was commenting tonight about the status of all these countries that Trump basically had put on the terror list and would not have any kind of would not accept anybody or any wouldn't accept any people or anything from those countries. He shut them down, and now Joe Biden has lifted that ban and is letting them all back in. He's letting anybody back in. I mean, let's face it, we don't even have any borders anytime. I mean, we don't have anything. I heard spokesperson for the U.S. Border Patrol talking on Newsmax today, and he said a lot of the Border Patrol was being pulled from our northern border with Canada, and they were being sent to the southern border. Of course, the southern border is just being overrun, but now we've left our northern border open. So basically, anybody that's coming into Canada, they can just walk right across too with no problem. I don't know if you've ever looked at history too much, folks, but countries just don't last when they've got open borders. They just don't last. And it wasn't man that ever created a border anyway. It was God. God is the one who set up borders and property lines and things such as this. So this comes straight from God's Word, the Bible. It's not something that that man thought up or some evil thing or something. That it looks like whatever is representative of God's ways anyway, looks like the evildoers want to do away with it. So it's something else. Well, that's about it for this round, Bob. I'll send it back to you, and I'll tell you what, I hope we got to pray hard and hope that we can turn this country around. If we don't, I believe we're going to lose it. KA8JOY from KK4WX, over.
Roger there, Mr. Russell. I think it's said historically that not many nations make it past the 200-year mark, and we are around 245 years, so We are on borrowed time. You made mention about the soldier that was assaulted. Two Afghan pieces of trash were arrested in Wisconsin at that military base. One of them was having sex with 16-year-old females, and the other Afghan was strangling his alleged wife. So they've both been arrested. And you were talking about the people that have SIV, Special Immigration Visas. Those are people that were interpreters and helped America. Well, they've determined, out of all these people that have come into this country from Afghanistan, only 3%. So 3% are SIV holders. The rest of them are pieces of trash that we're stuck with. Over.
Oh, good grief. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I had heard that we were really bringing in some real bad ones, but I didn't know it was that bad. So we shouldn't even brought I guess we shouldn't have brought, if we're going to bring any, it would have been those 3%, not all these child molesters and everybody else. Is that a Roger?
Roger, Roger, but sleepy, sippy cut Joe was too busy trying to make the optics for ending the 20-year war and could give a shit about Americans. So here we are. How nice. All righty, Mr. Russell, thank you. KK4WX. I'm at the bottom of my list, folks. It's kind of a short list. Let's see who else we got waiting in the wings. This is KJLY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
KD0RSA, I just got here. Over.
KD0RSA, Mr. Moe, great signal into Ohio. How are you doing tonight? Over.
I'm pretty good. I've been out welding on my honey line this afternoon, but otherwise it's a little warm. Over.
Alrighty, well, we've had some rain and some chilly temperatures. We're down to 43 degrees here in Ohio. How about you out there in Nebraska?
Oh, we're just about 70 degrees at the present time. Over.
Much better weather. Well, I'm at the bottom of my list. Do you have anything you want to bring to us tonight?
Well,
I watched some news clips last night. Remember, Australia basically took the weapons away from their civilians back in 1996, so they are totally an unarmed group of civilians. And Australia, even though they're considered a free country, they do not have a constitution like we do. And they are mandating all this vaccination. Well, they picked a fight with the construction workers. They decided that they were going to mandate all the construction workers had to be vaccinated. Because it was a ridiculous amount, a very small amount of cases are around construction sites. Well, those people are fighting back, but they've got nothing to fight back with. The Australian police are bringing out those armored vehicles, and they're shooting the protesters with rubber bullets to contain them. Over.
That's what I hear. I'm glad they're telling me about it. Over.
That's why we cannot let our weapons go. I do not want to see a civil war in this country, but when you've got no way to fight back, they are basically at the mercy of the Australian government, and they're another government that is trying to take control.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Keep your weapons and keep your powder dry, fellas. Over.
Roger, Roger. All righty, Mr. Moe, ride along with us. We just started, so we'll have some great comments, I'm sure. Let me see who else I've got lurking in the background. This is KHLY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
Kilowatt Charlie 4, radio X-ray. Kilo Quebec 4 Echo November checking in.
All right, Mr. Reed, say yours again.
All right, Kilo Quebec 4 Echo November.
All righty, I recognize the name, but I couldn't remember the call. Well, let me jump up to Dave in Tennessee. KC4RX. Mr. Dave, good evening. What do you want to bring to the table, sir?
Good evening, Bob. I listened to the first gentleman there. I guess we all got frogs tonight in our throats here, but about the white people, we white people, the ones that built this country and the ones that have done so much for this country, I'm going to say this. George Bush made a statement. You're either with us or, you're a terrorist. And that comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center. We pay them several million dollars a year to decide who's a terrorist and who's a bad actor and who's in a hate group and yada yada. But, and of course the FBI and everybody in our government listens to them because we pay them. Anyway, I think it all boils down to, and it's kind of ironic, and I think Rush might disagree with this, if we the American people who are white have a tendency to be Christian for the most part, and we know that Barack Obama is pulling the strings on Joe Biden. He's the guy running Joe Biden's mouth. I think you're going to find that when all is said and done, that what it amounts to, and it's kind of ironic, I think, that it's going to be those people, God's going to favor those people who put their hands together and accept his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ones that don't, the demonic ones, are going to be left with the Democrats. I really believe that there is a key point there of why they want to exterminate the white people in such a hurry. We all know that the jab, the shots, and the so-called vaccines are nothing but a bioweapon. There's, 80% of the people that have taken the shot are either dead or dying. And I really believe that it's going to be, when all is said and done, it's going to be Christian white people against the demonic Democrat, socialist, communist, whatever they are. And that's right. That's my speech for this moment. So I'll get back to next KC4RX.
All right, Dave, thank you. I appreciate it. It's interesting, back in the day, the hardworking white man and the hardworking black man were considered the backbone of this country, and now they are trying to call us the terrorists, over.
Roger. Barack Obama stood up and said that you didn't build that. That's coming from a man that has never earned anything. He's never earned a damn thing in his life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's had everything handed to him on a platter. He's not even a citizen of this country, a dirtbag. And there he is pointing down, looking down that finger at all us four white boys. I just don't know what to say. Back to that.
Thank you for that.
Roger. Well, thank you there, Mr. Dave. KC4RX, KJY. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Reed, KQ4EN. Mr. Reed, are you mobile? Are you at your house? And what do you got to say?
Yeah, I'm at home. And, he hit it on the nail, didn't he? He said Obama. It was a nothing. And I ain't got anything prepared tonight, Larry, Bob, but that guy, he said it squarely, just Obama never done anything in his life, and he continues to ruin, and I think he's got his hand in what was Biden doing, which is nothing. It's a stupid individual. The whole world sees that Biden is a minus. Well, I see it. You'll see it. And CNN sees. God, everybody knows. I got in here a little bit late, but I heard a little bit about the Australians are suffering. They're getting. But you know, I have a little bit of hope in our Constitution, because it says explicitly, do not infringe on our rights. And I got to have hope in it, and I got to believe. You know, I got probably 20 more years to live, but you know, I want my girls to grow up in somewhere where it's like as good as I had it. And you can't lose. You cannot lose in this society here. But they're trying to make it where, you know, Joe Biden world, I don't know. So, confound it. You guys, that's why I support this channel, and you guys are just affirmation, but the best I can hear. I love you guys, and I don't know what to say. I like when Bill talks, and I like when Larry talks. I like when you talk, Bob, and I like the way you carry. And it's great. So that's what I got to say. And if I think of anything else, I'll put it in there. All right, I'll talk to you, Larry. Okay, Bob. Talk to you. This is KQ4EN.
Alrighty, Reed. Thank you for joining us. KQ4EN, KHOI. Let me see if I have any other late check-ins. This is, excuse me, KAHJOY for the Saturday Night Liberty Net.
Kilo 1,
Delta 5, Delta. Pretty soft, but let me try it again. It was a kilo and a number 1. Could you say it again?
Delta.
Alrighty, I'm missing one letter. Kilo, question mark, number 1, Delta, Papa, Delta.
Bravo.
Alrighty, Robert. I am sorry it's hard for me to pull you out, but it sounds like you got a frog in your throat tonight. How are you doing tonight? And what do you want to bring to the net?
Okay, I'm a new antenna connection here. I could say more. I'm running a lot too much RF through the wire here. Sickness, a disease comes up, which inflicts our body, all our blood cells will be clotting away from the formulation of all this shot they put into our body. And you couldn't imagine a blood clot. Not to know that you're slowly killing off people. So go on and figure that out. You won't be able to. This process be so slow. But when it happens, you wonder where all the people went to when they died off. Over. This is KV1 DVD.
Roger, roger, Robert. Well, thank you for bringing that to the table. Stick around. We're going to start off with round number 2, KB1DPD, KJOI. Well, my next comment's going to be about the Border Patrol. I have only ridden a horse once in my life, but fortunately, I have friends that are with the Cleveland Metro Park Mounted Unit, and I know other people that are horse riders, horse people. So we see those videos of the rangers of the Border Patrol on those horses. They're a very large animal. They will bite you, and I guess it's kind of amazing to me. They consider those animals to be pressure. So if you want that animal to go to the left, you would stick your spear or your from your boot in its right side, and it would go to the left. If you really want it to turn to the left quickly, you have something flashing in front of their face. That's why they use the twin reins and they twirl them. It's to keep people from being near the horses, and it's to get the horse to turn quickly. So with that being said, there was no whipping of any of those migrants. Again, those people are here illegally. I personally wouldn't give a shit if you did whip them. They're illegal. They shouldn't be here. But the Border Patrol agents are trying to control the horse and trying to control the people that are illegal on our border. But yet, good old Kamala Harris and good old Sleepy Sloppy Joe are talking about how disgusting. It brings back visions of slavery. Really? You people weren't alive when slavery was happening. You're just taking a moment and trying to exploit it to make this even a worse situation than it already is. And then they have the audacity to say there's going to be an investigation and somebody's going to pay. You've already adjudicated the investigation, so you're not even letting the investigation go through. Then the circle around Saki, she tries to do damage control and say that Joe was emotional. That's why he said that someone will pay before the investigation is complete. How about an investigation on the drone strike where a father and seven children were killed and they were not terrorists and they were not harming Americans? How about an investigation that you blew the shit out of their car and killed all eight of them? But yet, that's not being investigated. That's just a Friday night, I'm sorry, from some general, but there's no investigation for that. But we're going to investigate the Border Patrol, the guys that are trying to protect that border. You're going to not have their back. Shame on you, Joe Biden. Shame on you, Kamala Harris. That is just deplorable. You are worthless individuals that are in high offices for this great country. With that being said, Mr. Martin and Miss Laura and to JTT and N2IRJ, good evening. I'm going to jump back to Mr. Bill for round number two. KO4FE, KAHJOY.
You tell him, Bob. Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Yeah, it's something else. Probably if they thought that Al-Qaeda was in that building, they wouldn't have dropped a drone on it or a bomb or however they did it, a cruise missile, I don't know. They seem to be very careful about irritating the Taliban and their allies, but so I would suspect if they really thought it was the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, they probably wouldn't have dropped that bomb in there. Well, anyway, I got a trifecta plus one because these are, well, of course, everything nowadays going on with the government's got some connection. But we're going to start with this one. You wouldn't think that anti-white policies would be in the farming, but here it is. Biden administration is still banning white farmers from federal aid. the Biden administration's farm loan forgiveness program is outrageously unconstitutional. It's a law that would selectively pay off the loans of farmers based on race. A non-white farmer would see his entire loan paid off. His neighbor, who is white, would not qualify for the program. It was predictably challenged in court with predictable results. So, you know, it's really amazing when these leftist administrations put in a obviously unconstitutional and unlawful policy, but what the courts just won't do anything about it. I mean, what's left? Well, anyway, it says every court to reach the question has issued a preliminary injunction. Thus, barely any money got out the door before it got halted. You may have thought it was over, but it's not. After taking an uninterrupted string of losses in defending the program's racial preferences, the government has changed its tactics. It is argued that it is wasteful and unfair to force it, the United States of America, represented by the Department of Justice, to have to defend its unconstitutional program in multiple places at one time. So the government's complaining that it's unfair because they have to, because so many suits are being brought by white farmers, that it's unfair. The government doesn't have time to deal with all these lawsuits, and that's why it should go ahead, be allowed to go ahead and pay off the non-white farmers' loans. I mean, talk about convoluted and ridiculous reasoning. Anyway, it said largely this change in tactics has worked. In case after case, the courts have stayed their cases. These nationwide injunctions you may have read about, they are pretty much now moot and dissolved outright. The court or the government staved off a much-needed reckoning. Under the program, which was billed as coronavirus relief, non-white farmers with loans from the Department of Agriculture would get their loans forgiven in full, plus they would get an extra 20% on top. So they're not only getting their loans forgiven, they're getting the government's giving them 20% bonus on top of the money they're paying off for them. So if they had a $100,000 loan, the government would give them $120,000. I guess they just pocket the 20 grand. It doesn't even matter if the farmer was an actual victim of discrimination or had received previous settlement awards for being a victim of discrimination, or if the farm was devastated by COVID lockdowns. The program makes race the most important characteristic. So they may have already been paid off, but they're going to pay them off again. In only one case in the country did a judge outright reject the government stay request, that of Bob Hallman, a Tennessee farmer who is unfortunately ineligible for the program because he is white. Now listen to this. Systematic inequitable treatment is how the government justifies its race preference for farm loan forgiveness. Well, who's committing this so-called systematic inequitable treatment? It's the government itself. It says so-called systematic racism got a hard look when the government was taken to court in June. Courts demand evidence, after all. It's a different game from, say, Twitter or Congress. You actually have to prove what you say. The bigger the claim, the more powerful the evidence the courts expect. If America is and always has been racist, it ought to be pretty easy to prove. When the government flipped its cards over, it had nothing. It offered a mountain of evidence, citing every historical wrong going back centuries, but the judge only went on to agree, understanding things a bit, that the government's facts are less useful than they may appear to be. Indeed, the judge then stopped the program across all 50 states. So you had one judge in the entire damn country that had the guts to stand up to this obviously illegal and anti-white program and put an end to it. Well, an end for now, at least in that case. Okay, here's another one. More anti-white, well, I would call this generally anti-American worker policy. It says Veritas whistleblower, DHS officials given bonuses for importing contract workers. Can you believe that? The government's given itself bonuses for bringing in foreigners to replace American workers. It says government employees are given bonuses for rubber stamping corporate requests to replace American graduates with imported contract workers, an inside source told the Veritas Project. We're supposed to be there to protect American jobs, and if you're getting a bonus because you're approving someone coming to the country, that to me is unforgivable, said the man who Veritas described as a Department of Homeland Security insider. The man said he reviews corporate applications to import contract workers via the L-1A and L-1B visa program, likely at the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Agency within DHS. The agency is now run by a pro-migrant political activist, Yoram Jadot. That's a an old line American name, I'm sure. It's spelled URJADDOU. Yeah, I'm sure he was. He's a member of the. His mother was a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution. But anyway, it says these L-1 contract workers are similar but cheaper to the mid-skill H-1B contract workers who have been imported in very large numbers to deliberately displace American graduates. Many American graduates have been denied careers at Facebook, Microsoft, Intel, and other technology companies because executives prefer to fill starter jobs with many thousands of foreign contract workers. The contract workers are cheap, compliant, and controllable, and they minimize the number of American professionals who can quit to create competing companies. Under President Joe Biden, the USCIS dropped quality control rules set by President Donald Trump. I mean, is there anything good Trump did that Biden isn't getting rid of? The agency now directs officials to defer to companies' claims that they cannot find American workers for the jobs, even if the claims were initially approved several years ago, the whistleblower said. He said when the companies asked for an L-1 visa extension under the deference policy, we're supposed to accept the fact that the first approval was valid, and therefore we just approve it. DHS managers want us to approve as many applicants as possible. DHS managers reward officials to rubber stamp corporate claims, even though each stamp denies another job to American graduates, he said. He said officers get a bonus at the end of the year depending on how many files have been processed. The process includes denials, but the chances that the vast majority of them are approvals. It's a bad thing because it incentivizes work visa approvals. If they denied 90% of corporate visa requests, there would be far less amount of cases processed because it takes much longer. But if you approve a bunch of cases, then you're going to obtain a higher compensation bonus because the processing numbers are higher. So, in other words, it takes more work to deny an application, and it's very easy. The criminals in Washington have made it very easy to approve the claims, so they just approve them so they can get more bonuses. It says if an official investigates or denies too many visa requests, they will get penalized, he said. So they get penalized for doing their job, which is to actually check out these damn things to see if they're even legitimate. He says, once penalized, he said, you're not entitled to overtime, not entitled to telework, you're not entitled to go detail, you're not entitled to lateral transfers, not entitled to promotion. Agency officials face intense pressure to approve high-priority requests dubbed premium processing applications. These applications come with a $2,500 check to the agency's overall budget. We're required to complete 15 of those a week, he said, and added that if an official misses a premium processing deadline, you get called in and disciplined for that. So there you go. The article goes on talking about more corruption with DHS, but, I mean, it's everything. I mean, it's like the whole government set up to screw the American people in every way possible, not only in jobs, but by flooding the country with immigrants to drive down wages and displace American citizens so they don't have any power at the voting booths. I mean, it's just sick all over. All right, here's another sicko. We're going to go to Rome on this one. Pope to Orban's Hungary. Open your arms to everybody. You know, I'd hope that this guy would have been done after he had that colon surgery, but apparently he's still alive. He's got some kind of a, shows him standing there with his sick, evil smile on his face, but he's got some kind of bandage on his hand. But anyway, it says, Pope Francis urged Hungary on Sunday to extend its arms to everyone. In other words, flood the country with more immigrants. That's what he wants. In a veiled critique of Prime Minister Viktor Orban's anti-migrant policies as the pontiff opened a four-day visit to Central Europe, his first big international outing since undergoing intestinal surgery in July. Francis, 84, appeared in good form during his short visit to Budapest, presiding over a lengthy mass for a crowd organizers said reached 100,000 people. I don't know why the people of Hungary are going to see this dirtbag. The Pope stood and waved to the crowds during a jaunt in his open-sided Pope mobile and used a golf cart to avoid walking long distances indoors, confessing at one point that he had to sit because I'm not 15 anymore. But otherwise, he kept up the typical grueling pace of a papal trip despite his ongoing recovery. So anyway, he said Francis only spent 7 hours in Budapest before moving on Sunday afternoon to a four-day tour of neighboring Slovakia. The lopsided itinerary suggested that Francis wanted to avoid giving Orban, the type of populist nationalist Francis frequently criticizes, the political boost that comes with hosting a pope for a proper state visit ahead of elections next spring. Francis did meet upon arrival with Orban, whose refugee policies clashed with the Pope's call for welcome and integration of those seeking better lives in Europe. While migration wasn't on the stated agenda, Orban wrote on Facebook, he said, I asked Pope Francis not to let Christian Hungary perish, unquote. Orban has frequently depicted his government as a defender of Christian civilization in Europe and a bulwark against migration from Muslim-majority countries. Francis has expressed solidarity with migrants and refugees and criticized what he called national populism advanced by governments like Hungary's. He has urged governments to welcome and integrate as many migrants as they can. So the Pope's on board with the white genocide program, too. He won't even defend his own religion. He wants to turn Christian countries Muslim. What a piece of garbage. How did this guy ever get in as Pope? And then we got another Orban critic, and that's in the United States. Hungarian government slams Mitt Romney. No shocker there. That worthless, pathetic wimp and cuck. for brutal attack on media freedom and democracy. The Hungarian government hit back at faux conservative U.S. Senator Mitt Romney after he criticized FNC's Tucker Carlson for visiting their country, accusing him of undermining the free press and democratic elections. Romney, a failed presidential candidate and strident critic of President Trump, had slammed Carlson, a prominent TV pundit, for traveling to Hungary to extol Viktor Orban as a model for us to emulate. I'd say Viktor Orban's a lot more, a better politician and a thousand times the man of this spineless, worthless Mitt Romney. Prime Minister Orban censors, this is Romney speaking, he says, Prime Minister Orban censors the media in his country, ignores the will of the people in elections, and amasses wealth for himself and his cronies. But alleged the multi-millionaire senator, although in fact the Hungarian leader has both lost and won free elections in the EU member state. Currently, he's riding a 3-win streak. So I think he's won by like over 60% of the vote, which is a hell of a lot more than Romney could manage. He couldn't even win the presidential election. Says, needless to say, this extraordinary attack on a NATO ally has prompted a strong response from the Hungarian government, led by the country's foreign minister, I can't pronounce this name. It's got too many consonants, not enough vowels for me to figure it out. F-Z-I-J-J-A-R-T-O. I don't know how to pronounce that. Anyway, he says Mitt Romney has launched a brutal attack on media freedom and democracy. The Hungarian statement hit back in a social media post. He judged an American television journalist because he expressed his opinion about Hungary, which did not coincide with the liberal mainstream's lies against our country, he added, in reference to Carlson praising Hungary's strong border controls and pro-family policies. And the Hungarian government was accused of governing against the will of people, where the people's will is expressed in the election. But we have been given two-thirds vote in three times in a row. An election system where everyone has an equal weight vote regardless of their residence, he added, perhaps more than a little sarcastically. NGOs afraid of democracy and freedom of the press, wake up. So anyway, we got these clouds everywhere. You got the Pope. The Democrats are all in on this stuff. And now we got these idiots like Mitt Romney. He's always one to throw in his worthless weight. He thinks he's important and he speaks for a sizable... Well, he doesn't speak for any conservatives, and I think most Republicans regard him as a weak, pathetic joke of a man. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-A-J-O-Y, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Keep talking, Bill.
Let's not forget John Kerry, another woke piece of crap that flies around on a private jet, tells you how to live and what kind of energy to burn. So, KO4FE, K-A-J-O-Y. Down to Mr. Russell, KK4WX. Mr. Russ, round number two, what do you got?
Okay, Bob, K-A-J-O-Y from KK4WX. I think I'll just skip on this round. I've got to head on in, but I've enjoyed it. And all the best to the Liberty Net group here tonight. And so I'm going to turn it right back to you, Bob, and say goodnight to you. 7-3s, and have a good week coming up. K-A-J-O-Y from KK4WX.
All righty, Mr. Russ. Thank you for joining us tonight and bringing your topics. God bless you, and we'll look for you next week.
All right, Bob, 7-3s, and God bless you, too, KK4WA.
All righty, sir. Good to hear you. KK4WX will be checking out. That'll take me down to Mr. Mo, KD0RSA. Mr. Mo, what do you have for round number two?
KD0RSA, low out here in Nebraska. Well, I broke the horses that I rode over the years. And you neck rein them. And you keep both reins in one hand and lay it against the neck, the direction you want them to turn. And that's all it takes to do that, to turn a horse that broke and broke to do what it's supposed to do. Otherwise, it's a runaway or a mess as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, it's great to get on the net and great to be in the United States. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate you giving me a call, Bob. It's still a great country, but you got to keep your weapons and keep your powder dry. KD0RSA, back to KAAJOY, over.
Roger, roger. It is still a great country, but Joe Biden is really trying to destroy it. I was also told by someone that rides with a mounted unit, the last thing you want someone to do is to grab that bridle. So you've got to keep the people away from that horse so they can't grab the bridle, and then they can lead the horse around, and you as the passenger would just be going for a ride. Over.
Roger, roger. I didn't understand that. But if they're doing that, why, you need to have a part of a fence post and work on the people. KD0RSA, back to Bob, over.
Yes, they do need a whipping, but that's not what was happening there. So KD0RSA, thank you, sir, KJOI. KC4RX, Mr. Dave, round number two. What do you have to bring to us? KC4RX, KJOI. Still with me, Dave? Let me jump down to Mr. Reed,
KQ4EN.
Mr. Reed, what are your thoughts on round number two?
Yeah, well, thank you, Bob. And unbeknownst to you guys, I am a horse trainer. My wife and I have a horse barn, and it is hard work. You got to make them trust you, and you get them in the round pen. And you make them walk both ways and trot both ways, and you sit on their back. And it's my job. You know, she sat on their back, but it takes time. And we do five horses a day. This was when I first married her, but I sat up with her, and it's important. They're just human. They're people. And you have to have patience with them, and they'll get it after a while, and they'll walk with back and forth, and they'll walk back directions, and then they'll trot, and then they'll gallop, and I put the saddles on them, five horses a day for however long it takes, it's hard work, but that's what, now I drive a truck. It's so much easier. It's easier now, but. Now I lost track of what Bill was talking about. Now that's important. Now what he's saying is, I'm not gonna be alive in years when it's a wreck. It's a wreck now, but I forget and listen. No, bless his heart, Bill's. He's afraid, and everybody's getting it this way, and it was so much better when I was a kid, and we had it so, you do what you want, you make a capitalist life of your own, and you do what you want, and you make a life for yourself, and now it's changing, and you can't trust anybody, you can't trust Biden and the New World Order. You know, I didn't think it was such a bad word when Bush Sr. said it, but it's awful. You can't. Oh gosh, it's communism. They tried to warn you, but and they're taking they're taking the statues down of Robert E. Lee, and confound it, they don't know what they're doing. Arm yourself. Don't go without a good shot. This is KQ4EN.
All right, I have one question, Reed. KQ4EN. When you were training horses, did you use the twin lead like these border patrol agents are using for the horses?
No, I don't know. You know, you sit on their back, and they learn to get your heels are like switch on a Harley. You kick and it changes gears, and your neck, your reins, you pull left. You don't have to do anything. They learn. What'd you say?
So you're talking about using reins where the Border Patrol, they use longer twin reins, feet, I guess they're calling them. They use a left lead and a right lead instead of reins.
No, well, what they're doing, they're just steering. They're just steering left and right. They're trained to, they're called reining horses, I think. And it is like like a steering wheel. And the horse responds when you pull, it's one-handed. That's the way they do. And that whip mess, you don't use a whip. If you use a whip, they're not going to respond properly. It pisses them off. They remember. A horse has a memory. And anything that you ever do to the horse, they remember. And they will not let you do it.
Interesting. And yes, the Border Patrol agents were using the longer twin reins, and they use them to control the horse. They were not used to abuse the immigrants, the illegal immigrants. So that's where all the stink's been. It's really been blown out of proportion. But of course, our government, our Kamala Harris and the Sippy Cup Joe would do that. So thank you, Reed. KQ4EN, KJY. Last on my list is Mr. Robert, KB1, DPD. Mr. Robert, what do you have for round number two?
Okay, this is KB1, DPD. And I didn't have anything more arranged here, but I wanted to open up and say hello to everyone here on the Liberty Net. Haven't been here for quite some time and studying what was going on. And right now I'm looking at how the medical system of things is holding back and giving everybody better-looking skin. Apparently, as we age, we get built up a lot of DHT, which has been a factor that is causing a lot of bad skin effects, such as wrinkles and dull skin, and anything over 40 years of age. You're evident of looking older than you really are. So that's what I'm looking at right now. But it is something that is going wrong here with the president and the vice president are the leaders of the whole thing here. But you got to figure out the ones that are directing to behave the way they are. They have something in mind here that they will be saved and the rest of the population will be brought down to a decline. So all the immigrants they can bring in will be voting for their free stuff and looking at Trump giving another down in Georgia, and there's a note item here that I was looking at. I didn't go into any details, but
Yep, WPYPA. Hello, Michael, in South Bend. How are you doing tonight? And what would you like to bring to the table?
I don't have much for the table tonight.
All righty. Well, join along with us. Do you have any comments you'd like to make before I move on?
Negative, other than I'm just thankful to be here, and I'd like to wish I'm sick and tired of I'm just tired of everybody being so afraid of this so-called virus.
Yes, it is risky to live. Every day when you get up, it is a risk. You could be killed in the traffic crash. You could have a heart attack. But we still have to live our lives each and every day.
Yes, amen to that.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for being with us. I'm going to go to the top of the list, and we'll see what other thoughts we have for our final thoughts. WB9YPA. My last comment is going to be again from the Epic Times. Retired state senator in a new battle against domestic communism. Richard Hayden Black says communism is spreading at a breakneck pace. The article, I won't read the whole thing, I'll just read the first two lines. A Vietnam War veteran and former Virginia state senator is at the center of a new battle, pushing back on domestic communism in the United States. After 16 years in the Virginia House of Delegates and the Virginia Senate, Senator Richard Hayden Black withdrew from the office in 2020, but not the community. On June 22nd, he spoke at a school board meeting in his county of residence, Lawton County. The county is west of Washington, D.C., where liberal-leaning northern Virginians and the more conservative parts of the state meet. It has become ground zero for the fight against critical race theory, a variation of Marxism that interprets society through the lens of racial class struggle and sees inherent racism in the foundations of the Western society. Black's self-introduction caused a stir in the crowd. A sense of respect and anticipation arose in the air. People knew him and burst into louder and louder cheers as he criticized school board members for suppressing freedom of speech by encouraging an enemy list to punish CRT opponents. He moved on to condemn the proposed transgender policies, which allow boys to self-identify as girls to use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. Isn't it amazing? It's the boys who identify as girls, but there ain't many girls identifying as boys. We're perverts. I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to go Bob Evans and say, you know, I'm feeling like a girl today. I'm going to go in the little girls' room and look at myself some booty. Of course, at Bob Evans, all the booty's pretty big. Let me continue. The crowd cheered more, and many stood up to express their agreement. Immediately, the school board members voted to end the public comment period and retreated from the dais, making Black the approximate 50th and effectively the last speaker of the 289 total registered speakers. As he was walking toward the exit of the boardroom, many approached him to thank him and shake his hand. Defending freedom isn't new for Black. He spent 32 years altogether in the United States Marine Corps, raised to the rank of colonel, and the U.S. Army JAG Corps, and the legal arm of the U.S. Army. He holds three Legions of Merit, the Purple Heart Medal, and the Navy Combination Medal with D for Valor, the Combat Action Ribbon, and two Presidential Unit Citations. So here is a longtime Vietnam War veteran and a Virginia senator who is saying that communism is spreading at a breakneck pace, seizing power by creating division. How true. With that being said, again, hi to Laura and Marty, and to JTT and into IRJ. Hi to Mr. Paul, who does the recording for us. Thank you, Paul. Hi to Ted here in Akron, Ohio. Mr. Ted, I missed you again at lunch today. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to make it next week. I was working on a UMTS in my radio room. So with that being said, back to Mr. Bill for his final thoughts. KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE. Well, Bob, you know, we listen to these news stories, and it's easy to get depressed and give up hope, but there's always hope. And I'm going to read an article here that I think has a positive action or could yield results, and I think it's practical. It's not a pie-in-the-sky thing, and to some degree, some states are already doing this in very small ways. But anyway, here's the headline. Secession is the shortcut to right-wing victory. Curtis Yarvin's excellent subtract deserves your reading. He's widely praised for his insights into why Western civilization is going wrong and for his ideas on a new regime to replace it. Succession avoids several obstacles identified by Yarvin that could block the right from creating a better regime in this generation. First of all, right-wing sovereignty over any portion of the U.S. is more easily achieved than right-wing sovereignty over the entire U.S. So it is more likely to happen within the next few years. Taking over the whole U.S. is not in the cards in the next few years, even if there is another economic Great Depression, because the ruling class prevents the right wing from organizing. Only the left is allowed to have and keep major militias such as Antifa and other institutions of power such as the major social media, education, academia, corporate media, the U.S. military, etc. But the left can't stop red states from having right-wing state governments, state police, state defense forces, and state national guards. Secondly, secession is the way to acquire control of institutions. A red state that succeeds can use state power and create state laws to give control of institutions to the right wing, because a succeeded state would no longer answer to the federal judges. Thirdly, secession is one of the only ways for the right wing to exert itself in a defensive rather than offensive way. In U.S. culture, defensive actions has the moral high ground. Any federal attempts to deny self-determination and freedom to a state will be perceived as offense. Secession can be preceded by a secession referendum, a democratic process to obtain legitimacy by the consent of the people. Secession can be achieved in the near term before red state citizens are thoroughly indoctrinated by the left and before their population is swelled by millions more immigrants who vote. It can be achieved while the right still has strong majorities in some states. 2.6 Trump voters per Biden voters in Wyoming, 2 Trump voters per Biden voter in Idaho, 1.7 in Alabama, 1.12 in Texas, to choose relevant examples. I would also add West Virginia, which is probably 3-1 at least. A poll by Brightline YouGov shows that a majority of Southern Republicans are in favor of secession, and that's the party that dominates many Southern states. So I can see movements like this happening where state governments just decide we're not participating in anymore. And you see this now where local governments are saying we're not enforcing your damn gun laws. And there's no reason why this couldn't
go into all aspects. I mean, once the government's allowed sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, it's pretty hard for them, at least intellectually, to turn around and say, well, you can't be a sanctuary for gun laws or for white people or for conservatives or what have you. So that might be a good idea. And I think this thinking is picking up, because here's another headline. MSNBC Sykes says deplorables are taking over the Republican Party. MSNBC network contributor Charlie Sykes said Friday on Dateline that the Republican Party was being taken over by so-called deplorables. That means anybody who's an actual conservative. While discussing Representative Anthony Gonzalez, Republican from Ohio, who voted to impeach former President Donald Trump for inciting the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot, he's announcing he will not even run for re-election in 2022 because he knows he'd take a ass-kicking. Sykes said it feels like a familiar story, this ongoing purge of the decent... this is ridiculous. The decent, the principled, the honorable members, and their replacement by the deplorable and the hackish. When a liberal's praising a conservative as decent and principled, you know that they're worthless. In Max Miller's case, think of Max Miller as the Biff character from Back to the Future. You're finding the most obnoxious people around. I thought one of the things Congressman Gonzalez said was interesting. He thought he could have won a primary, but he didn't think it was worth it anymore. Yeah, right. You think you would have won, but I don't think you would have. He could have spent the next year fighting through all this BS, and all he would have won was a chance to sit in a caucus with deplorables like Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, and he just didn't want to do it anymore. Yeah, because he wouldn't have any power, because he wouldn't have any votes for anything. He added, so this is the dilemma you have. Some of the so-called good guys are leaving, and they are ceding ground to people who will make this more anti-democratic. Coming from a Democrat, that's ironic. More authoritarian. How could you get any more authoritarian than Joe Biden and more prone to conspiracy theories? I guess he means the conspiracy theory like the great replacement. Yeah, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a policy, an open policy. Anyway, he continues, he said, this is kind of a tragedy. Part of me wishes he would have stayed and fought. Hey, he would have lost. I understand as a human being, why do you want it? Why do you want to sit in a caucus run by someone like Kevin McCarthy? Is it worth it anymore? Yeah. Well, I hope more of these cuck Republicans decide not to run, and we can get even more good people in there. We're the kind of people that this clown Sykes hates. Okay, we can't finish up the night without a story on the transgenders. Now listen to this one. This is out of the Sun. It says, school reports chaplain to anti-terror unit after he tells pupils they can disagree with LGBT teaching. This is unbelievable. A school priest was reported to the anti-terrorism prevent program after delivering a sermon in which he told pupils they were allowed to disagree with new LGBT policies. The Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall told pupils at Trent College near Nottingham that they were entitled to disagree with the measures. Well, the left doesn't think any disagreements allowed. The school later flagged Dr. Randall to the Prevent program, which identifies those at risk of radicalization, but police found he posed no counterterrorism risk. So a Christian priest disagreeing on LGBT
brainwashing is thought to be a radical. Thank God the cops aren't totally woke, or they would have come in with a SWAT team and pulled the guy out of his church. Anywhere, Derbyshire police said the case did not meet the threshold for a prevent referral. Dr. Randall also claimed that the school warned him that future sermons would be censored in advance, and he was later dismissed, leaving his career and life in tatters. He is suing the school for discrimination, harassment, victimization, and unfair dismissal, with his case set to be heard next month. During the sermon delivered in June of 2019, Dr. Randall told pupils, quote, "You should no more be told you have to accept LGBT ideology than you should be told you must be in favor of Brexit or must be a Muslim," he said. But he stressed that pupils need to treat each other with respect regardless of their beliefs. Well, that ain't good enough. Dr. Randall had learned of the prevent referral and documents given to him ahead of a disciplinary hearing, and told the Mail on Sunday that he had visions of being investigated by MI5 of men knocking down his front door. The chaplain had joined the school in 2015 to provide pastoral care and lead the school's religious services. He claimed his sermon had been prompted by concerns over an organization named Educate and Celebrate, run by Dr. Ellie Barnes, which was invited to promote or provide LGBT inclusion training at the school. So anyway, he got kicked out, but he's suing, but he still got reported to the anti-terror unit for telling students that they don't have to agree with the LGBT agenda. So anyway, I would probably add that most Christian clergy, especially in England, are probably in support of the LGBT indoctrination, even though it runs totally opposed to their supposed religious beliefs. So I don't know if you can call a lot of these people, we even call them Christians, I'd call them communists. So you got one guy who spoke up in a very mild way, but he still got reported to the anti-terror unit. So anyway, thanks again for running the net, Bob, and thanks to Paul for making his recordings. I want to say that they come in handy, not just to listen to, because a lot of times he picks up stations that are hard to receive because he uses an SDR that's in a good location, but also it allows people to check their audio and make sure everything's okay. So anyway, Bob, once again, thanks for running the net. Greetings to all the net participants, SWLs, or people that just listen. K8JOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Got you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KJOY. It is a shame that the priest, you know, look at, they are controlling our health and our health services by this vaccination and the mandate, and they're destroying the First Amendment by freedom of speech, freedom of religion. So they definitely are trying to dismantle that Constitution and that Bill of Rights. That if I'm not mistaken, Biden put his hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend that Constitution. Over.
Yeah, right. But what kind of Bible did he use? It was probably the Satanic Bible.
No.
Well, no, Sippy Cup Joe, it's probably the Muslim Quran, because his handler would be Barack Obama, so...
Barack.
Sad. It's really sad. Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. Mr. Russ Stein, KK4WX. Next on my list is Mr. Moe. Mr. Moe out there in Nebraska, your final thought. KD0RSA, KAHOI.
KD0RSA, well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate everybody that talked tonight, and what have you, and I love to the Constitution, and keeping your powder dry, and if it comes to that, why, that's what it's going to have to be. We need to keep that Constitution alive, and people need to read it, and so they know their rights. It's great to be on the net, and I do appreciate getting on, and I wouldn't be here without that. Me too. Thank you, Bob, and back to KAH0Y, over.
All righty, Mr. Mo. You're doing 30 over S9 tonight. You are kicking ass here into Ohio. So I am so glad we got that fixed. That's exciting. And you know what? I have a Constitution sitting right here on my desk next to my log. And I have one that I carry with me in my pocket next to the challenge coin from my U.S. military son. So yes. People need to know what's in that document, and I have one with me in case someone asks me. So thank you, Mo, KD0RSA, KJY. Let me jump down to Mr. Reed, KQ4EN. Mr. Reed, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I'd like to double down on what y'all said. Our, you know, our FBI is... is a minus to our people, and they get it's proven the January 6th, the insurrection, that were they want to catch us in some kind of lie, and they're proving that they have pictures of them, high haircuts. And they want to, they have holsters, and they want to catch you in a lie, and the media was in on it, and they made an insurrection that wasn't an insurrection, and it's just hateful, calm down, What else have I got to gripe about? It's just, I like the way you guys are talking about it, and gets us out in there. Okay. I don't know. Talk to you. This is KQ4N.
All righty, Reed. Well, they keep on using the word insurrection, and there was no weapon. The only person murdered that day was a Trump supporter, Ashley Babbitt. So how can you have an insurrection when people are walking through the Capitol, through the rotunda, in an orderly fashion, and the law enforcement are directing them in the building? It is just a scam, a total scam. So thank you, sir, for joining us. KQ4EN, KJY. Let me see Robert's final thought. KB1DPD. Mr. Robert, your final thought.
Okay, and for the last transmission, the final thought, I thought. Oh, but yes, it looks like it's tomfoolery and trickery as far as what's going on here. And the people are conditioned to be led along and not enjoy life properly anymore. It's something that when your social friends and such are being interrupted constantly and threatened because you might be the one with the virus carrier because you did not get the shot and the jab in the arm and
Notice they went from shot to now the jab in the arm statement. Anyway, I thought it was interesting how they're manufacturing all this baloney and continuing to expect us to live a proper life. And if you're leading a lonely life, it's getting more severe for those that need comfort with people around you. It's very much the system of things, the way it's going on. Divide and separate. KV1DPD. Good night.
Thank you, Robert. KV1DPD. Yes, they are interrupting life, liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. We have to stand by those words and maintain that. So, with that being said, let me reach out and see if I have any last comments before I close the door on this Saturday Night's Liberty Net. Come now.
Stand for okay.
Oh, Mr. Larry, I'm glad you got here. I was kind of getting worried. N4ROQ. What do you got for it, sir?
Thank you, Bob. I'm still kicking, man. Thanks for letting me jump in here. I just checked on the internet here. This is regarding the Taliban. They're bad news. Taliban hanged a dead body in Afghan city's main square. The Taliban hanged a dead body from a crane in the main square of Herat in western Afghanistan. A witness said Saturday in a gruesome display that signaled a return to the Taliban's brutal ways. Wazir Ahmad Sadaki, who runs a pharmacy on the side of the square, told the Associated Press that four bodies were brought to the main square and three bodies were moved to other parts of the city for public display. Correct dated to September 25th. People look up, there's a picture, and you can see people looking up in the sky at a dead body hanged by the Taliban from a crane in the main square of Herat City in western Afghanistan on Saturday, September the 25th. 2021. A witness told the Associated Press that the bodies of four men were brought to the main square and three of them were moved to other parts of the city for public display. The Taliban announced in the square that the four were caught taking part in a kidnapping and were killed by police. Okay, and I found from the USA Today, there's an article in here regarding the Taliban. It says the Taliban are bringing back amputations and executions. One of the founders of the Taliban, of the chief enforcer of their harsh interpretation of Islamic law, when they last ruled Afghanistan, said the hard-line movement will once again carry out executions and amputations of hands, though perhaps not in public. In an interview with the Associated Press, Norudi Turbana dismissed outrage over Taliban's executions in the past, which sometimes took place in front of crowds at a stadium, and he warned the world against interfering with Afghanistan's new rulers. Everyone criticized us for the punishments in the stadium, but we have never said anything about their laws and their punishments, Turbana told the Associated Press, speaking in Kabul. No one will tell us what our laws should be. We will follow Islam, and we will make our laws on the Quran. Since the Taliban overran Kabul, now this is why, good time to inject this. This is why the weapons, our ammunition, our planes, our helicopters, our missiles, on and on and on. We're left ordering Islamics that follow the Quran because we had a leader here in the United States named Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama. Obama, that was also a Muslim, a closet Muslim, and he was involved in, I'm sure, this takeover also, and leaving all this information, all these guns and different things for these Muslims. So don't believe that he wasn't involved. There's no doubt that he was, and Biden fell right in there with it. Moving on to the article, since the Taliban overran Kabul on August the 15th and seized control of the country, Afghans in the world have been watching to see whether they will return to their harsh rule of the late 1990s. Chobani's comments pointed to how the group's leaders remain entrenched in a deeply conservative, hardline worldview, even if they are embracing in technological changes like video and mobile phones. Chobani said in the early 60s was justice minister and head of the so-called Ministry for Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, effectively the religious police during the Taliban's previous rule. At that time, the world denounced the Taliban's punishments, which took place in the Kabul sports stadium or on the grounds of the strong Eid Gah Mazut Mosque, often attended by hundreds of Afghan men. Executions of convicted murderers were carried out by a single shot to the head, carried out by the victim's family, which had the option of accepting blood money and following the culprit to live, or allowing the culprit to live. For convicted thieves, the punishment is the amputation of a hand. For conviction of highway robbery, a hand and a foot were amputated. Trials and convictions were rarely public, and the judiciary was weighed in favor of Islamic clerics. The knowledge of the law was limited to religious injunctions. Chobani said at this time, judges, including women, would adjudicate cases, but the foundation of Afghanistan's laws will be the Quran. He said the same punishments would be revived. Cutting off of hands is very necessary for security, he said, saying it has been a deterrence effect. He says the cabinet was studying whether to do punishments in public and would develop a policy. Wearing a white turban and a brushy, unkempt white beard, the stocky Chobani limped slightly on his artificial leg. He lost a leg and one eye during fighting with Soviet troops in the 1980s. Under the new Taliban government, he's in the charge of prisons. He's a prison master there. He is among a number of Taliban leaders, including members of the interim cabinet, who are on the United Nations sanctions list. So we got some rough people in back in the rule of Afghanistan now, and there's going to be anything goes. As long as it's for the Quran, as this guy says. We'll stop it right there. I do see that Chauvin is trying to appeal his conviction sentence, and he was sentenced to 22 and a half years by a liberal judge. He said a sentence higher than the presumptive 12 and a half years after the judge agreed with prosecutors that were aggravating the factors in Floyd's death. So Chauvin thinks that's he's going to appeal that, and hopefully I don't believe that a police officer. I believe this was just to appease. Of course, the blacks in this, they gave them millions of dollars for his family, and this was all orchestrated by the Democrats, and I do believe this guy was on a lot of hallucinated drugs. He's a drug addict. He was a merc. Don't know if he'd killed anyone, but he's been in prison many times, and he followed him trying to get him in the police car. You can watch the video on YouTube. It should be still on there. It was there for a long time. So this guy was bad news, And it's just that you have to arrest these people. If something happens to them, then this is what can happen to a good police officer. So I don't believe that he should have even been tried. I believe that he was just trying to hold this gentleman down. And there was a crowd around. And anyway, this guy, hopefully he can get an appeal and get a judge there to look at all the things in the case and what really happened there. So back to you there, Bob, from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, George Floyd was aggravated assault. He held a firearm to the belly of a pregnant woman. He passed bad money. He was a drug user. So yeah, he was not a good person. He had theft, grand larceny, just a piece of crap. But we're going to exalt him. It is so sad. I have a question, Larry. I heard a little blurb on the news today. In the state of Tennessee, there was a grocery store shooting at a Kroger's. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, I started to bring that out, but I don't have it available right at this point. But that was in Memphis. It's a black area, of course, out there. And I'm not sure how many people there were 10 to 13 shot. I don't know how many of those had passed away. But the shooter was supposed to have committed suicide. And I haven't listened to the news today. I don't know if all that's still the same or if it's changed. But I'll try to find out and bring it to Wednesday night on the net there. So, but there was several people shot at a Kroger's there. That is right there. Over.
I understood that he was a representative of a third party. So I don't know what the name of the brand that he was a representative or salesman, but he was a representative for a third party vendor. They didn't have a motive. So I was curious if you'd heard anything closer to your state. But thank you, sir. I appreciate you jumping in here tonight. Sorry we missed you in the first part, but we're glad you got in here. So with that being said, do I have any final thoughts before I close the Saturday Night Liberty Net?
KT0RSA.
Go ahead, Mr. Moe.
Yeah, Bob, maybe that is working so good getting 30 over out there. There's 7 router on just to this radio. Find out what we're together over.
Well, you are making an excellent trip to Ohio. The band is cooperative, and that radio is serving you well. So, and I also have to tell you, I have ordered some QSL cards, and I know we've had conversation many times in the past, but I'm going to send you one because you will get a kick out of it. Over.
Well, I sure appreciate it, guys. When I get my tower, I'll take a picture of my tower, and my hunting blind, and tower, and I'll send them to you. Over.
All righty, sir. It's always a pleasure to hear you. If you have a chance tomorrow night, I'll be down the band at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so I would think that's about... Are you Central Time or Mountain Time, Mo?
I'm Central Time.
So that would be 8 o'clock Central Time that I'll be down the band with that other group tomorrow night.
All right. I do appreciate it. We usually go to town for prayer Bible class on Sunday night. Over.
All righty. Not a problem. When you're in Bible class, please pray for America. I know you do. All righty. With that being said, any final comments? Over. Nothing heard. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace to some of our silent keys. W1WCR, Mr. Victor. W9FAM, Mr. Vern. K8INE, Mr. Jim. KN4CF, Mr. Robert. N3GVA, Mr. Mike. W2WCW, Mr. Frank. W8MPB, Mr. Harvey. K4GAR, Mr. Harrison. KB2DYB, Mr. Dennis. KE2LO, Mr. Eugene. And KI2J, Mr. Mike. It is my prayer for God to bless this great America, bless our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and bless each and every one of you that joins us on the great Liberty Net. This is KAHJOY. Good night.
Good night from KI4WCA.
That's great, Robert. I'll talk to you. KQ4N.
Good night.